throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne, and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. I answered, Sir, you know. And he said, These blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The Son will not be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe out. And the responsive reading, if you'll. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
You will have noticed that that reading from the 23rd Psalm, and I quote you from the quips and quotes today, 23rd Psalm presents us with the... Happy to have today with us for our special music, Dustin Helm. So Dustin and Sandra actually present for us today our special music. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the day we got snowed out. So we're going to revive it. It's Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of...
Didn't I see that lady on the television or something, or in a movie or something recently? Throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Thank you. We thank you, holy and gracious, humble tokens of our gratitude, but we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers. Amen. Thank you. Because it'll embarrass me, but it is beautiful, and I think you're nice as well, and I think you have. Thank you. Isn't that nice? We are back at church to Pastor Ian. There you go. Thank you very, very much. Okay, now that I'm sure that everybody knows that many... Where are they made?
China.
Some things are made in Japan. How many people drive a car that was made in Japan? Oh, look at them all. Nobody out there. Yours is made in China. Lots of others were made in China as well. Lots of the things that we use in everyday life. Usually, if you check the label, it'll tell you where it was made. Now then. Who do you think that is actually from a comic? And his name is Rupert. The story's about Rupert the Bear. And this actually belongs to Iris, so I've got to be very careful with it. What do you think?
Let her rip.
What do you think?
Canada?
He senses this is a trap. Italy. Oh. And it says, made in Indonesia. India, thank you. So you see, we get things that are made from all over the world, lots of different places and different... Where would it say that you were made?
God.
You were made in heaven. You're all ahead of me. Ah, give up. Come on, don't be shy. Put your hand up if you weren't made in Alberta. Lots of us weren't made in Alberta. Oh, look at them all. Was anybody here made in Canada? Yes, there were lots of people. We all come from different places, and we could say we were made in England, we were made in Canada, we were made in Alberta.
Heaven.
In heaven. Right, we were made in heaven. Who by?
God.
God. Heaven. So it doesn't matter what country we come from. We can come from many different countries. What does that make us? Are we related to each other? If we've all got the brothers and sisters, aren't we? All of us. Brothers and sisters. So if we're all... Because your brothers and your sisters are not your enemies, are they? They're all... You're all... Can you say something sensible? No, okay. Put your hand down then. He got more answers than I have. The Wemmicks, you are special. That's what we'll be doing something else. But anyway, I think I'm finished. So shall we have a little prayer together? Shall we? Because you are our Father, we are brothers and sisters... You want all of us to love each other as you love us. Thank you. Let's get out of here. Very nice. Now, if you give me a sec, the hymn number 8, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and save. Now to His temple draw near. Praise to the shelters the under His
were provided for us by the organ and by the piano. And you think, isn't that beautiful? How richly giving it back to the Lord. And I'm standing over here. What a wonderful world. We could sing that. That's a cue for a song, Peter. What a wonderful world. Do you know that one? No. Past week has been a strange week on the world scene. We've had that great big explosion down in Texas. We've had an earthquake in church. And if we look at the hospital screen, she's a long-standing member of our church, hasn't been for quite a while because of ill health. Irene, she is in Sundry Hospital. In Sundry Hospital, where she joins Earl, another long-standing member of our church family, and where she joins Charlene, trip out to the Sundry Hospital. There's lots of people there, our own family, our own brothers and sisters. We've got quite a few people there who we need to visit. And then, of course, in continue to remember Dave in your prayers, and Phyllis, who's here today, and she spent a lot of time caring all of the work that they put in looking after their own loved one, and also in home. And I went to see her and asked her what the problem was, and she says, "I have no idea. I'll tell you anything because they don't really know yet. The tests are still awaiting results and so on." And upon the last week, and it's been a hectic week on the world scene, a bad week on the world scene, but God cares about your week, whatever your week was, and He cares to hear. You have called us, giving thanks, and we worship you. Often keep us from expressing the things that sit upon our hearts and our souls, sometimes like a broken language. And so we rely on the fulfillment of your promise on our behalf, and we thank you for that blessing, Lord. Presence in our lives, it is good at these moments when life has been good. And some of us, Lord, calm in sorrow, in distress and heartache. All of these things, Lord, for some have been the experience. And we look to you, Lord, to fulfill your promise that you will lead us beside the still waters, to be still and to know of your calming, with hearts full of hope and full of assurance, because you have promised that you are not, Lord, we depend and we lean. We rose in triumph from the grave, that we too might also know of resurrection, that new life and light that lifts us to new heights of living. And may we come every good and perfect gift. And so we come to you once again, laid upon our hearts. We express our needs and our thoughts and our desires for them. We come before you this day, Lord, as a church family, thankful for the fellowship, Lord, in so many different ways, in so many different frames of mind, own individual children. And we thank you, Father. Go with us and protect us from all evil. And we pray, Lord God, that we may be worthy that we say and do, may be to your honour and to your glory. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. The first reading is from, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "Us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The word believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And the second reading, "At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha," which is translated, "she did. But it happened in those days when she became sick and died. When they and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him. He had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was.
Our thanks together for those readings from the scriptures. Walk with God. Enjoyed singing it. Certainly got that impression. Would you pray with me, please? Be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Retired to a small farm, and they acquired a few sheep, newborns into the house for care and for bottle feeding. Farm. And she was telling a friend about this strange development. Think about it. She was referring, of course, to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shepherds, and it's probably one of the most familiar images in Scripture. And sheep were important to the agricultural lives of the ancient Hebrews in the Bible, way, way more than any other animal. And for of the sheep and the shepherd was an obvious way to think of our relationship with before he became a warrior, before he became a king. And so he is my shepherd. But David wasn't the only used sheep to illustrate the waywardness of God's people. I have turned every one to his own way. Now you might well be thinking, just like sure got us right. And of course this descriptive language is carried over. He is the ultimate shepherd of God's people, as well as the unblemished. Grown up with sheep, as Nick has, he knows all about sheep. You want to know, spent a lot of time in petting zoos, and so we're probably not all that familiar with sheep. It's very flattering. Most of us wouldn't think that. We would more likely think you'll to go along with any old herd. Sheep are underappreciated. When most of us think about sheep, we suppose this, and therefore up to just mildly follow along with the rest of the herd. However, this image of the life of a sheep is mainly based upon a sheep. We realise that being a good sheep is being a sheep. And to do these things, it requires some basic qualities that are all, like the disciples of Christ, the sheep benefits greatly from belonging to the flock. the opportunity to be useful and productive. We're all members of this, what we're here. We believe we belong to something which greatly benefits us. In our more mule-like character, we are sometimes resistant to make us the right kind of sheep to follow Jesus. Of Christ's flock require of me. How can we own? What do we need to know and do? That lesson from John's Gospel is set during the festival of dedication, the Feast of Lights. It takes place over an 8-day period in December, place 2 centuries before Christ. So Jesus, which was a long covered walkway on the east side of the temple. Question: how long will you keep us in suspense? And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but testify about me, but you do not believe, because you, I know them, and they follow me. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me, hand. I and the Father are one. Sheep. First of all, he says he knows them individually. With God. God knows each of us. He knows us. He knows our name. He knows us. There's an old story about a census taker. Woman who was at the time doing her washing. Lady, he says, I am taking the census. Let me think. Well, my name is Mary, and then there's Marcia and Douglas. Give me the numbers. She straightened up, hands on her hips, a number in them yet. We haven't run out of names. And so the image of God as the Good Shepherd tells us that is the way. And Jesus says, the sheep listen to his voice. And this, a man in Australia was arrested some time back. He protested that he owned the sheep and that it had been missing for many days. Brought into the courtroom. Then he ordered the man who had accused the other man of stealing once, except to raise its head and maybe look a little bit frightened. And then the accused man began to make his distinctive call. The sheep ran toward who owned that sheep. The sheep recognized the voice of his master. Question for you. Is this imagery the voice of Christ? Author Neil Anderson contends it means to be led like sheep. He says, Western shepherds to bark at their heels. Eastern shepherds, like those. Anderson tells us about watching a shepherd lead his flock on a hillside. And after a time, he stood up and he said a few words to the sheep. He said it was fascinating. He said the words of Jesus in that passage of scripture, and I know them. And they follow me by how well he or she follows. And intimately known by God, but they shirk from the responsibility. We want to know him as our Saviour, but not as our Master. And our waywardness. And so he adds this final word of grace. In other words, God loves us. And as the scriptures tell us, that nothing can come between us and our shepherd. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. The shepherd knows all of us by name. We are to listen to his voice and to for every single one of our needs. And I just want to, beginning of the service, and that was from that one, 121, Shepherd of my soul. Kathy said, "On, Shepherd of my soul, let me remind you of this chorus that we all sang. And I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I will go." And that was a beautiful chorus. And I guess the whole of the scripture reading for today, promise to all of his people, to you, to every single one of us who are the sheep. Isn't that a nice sheep? This point in time, and that is the Psalm 23, hymn number 50, "The Lord is my shepherd."
My shepherd I'll not want, in pastures green, he led waters
of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this day and forevermore.
Sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And the responsive reading, if you'll join me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Notice that that reading from the 23rd Psalm, we took it from the original King James Version. That's the only way you can read that psalm. And I quote you from the Quips and Quotes today. 23rd Psalm presents us with the one of the few occasions when we can say, runneth, leadeth, and maketh, without feeling foolish. Happy to have today with us for our special music, Dustin Helm. And like every good boy, he's brought his mum with him. So Dustin and Sandra actually present for us today our special music. Thank you.
Thank you. We actually prepared this song a few weeks ago for when Mom was up for special music, and that was the day we got snowed out. So we're going to revive it. It's Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. Thank you.
Beautiful. Big thank you to Sandra and Dustin for that beautiful piece of music. And didn't I see that lady on the television or something, or in a movie or something recently? Thank you. Great job. Great job. And now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Thank you, holy and gracious Father, for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude, but we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please.
What have you got here? Thank you. That is beautiful. I won't read it out because it'll embarrass me. But it is beautiful. And I think you're nice as well. And I think you have a nice smile. And you're always faithful. And you love God as well. Thank you. Isn't that nice? We are back at church to Pastor Ian. There you go. Thank you very, very much. Now then, what am I going to talk about now? Okay, now that I'm sure that everybody knows that many of the things that we use every day and not made in Canada, are they? Where are they made?
China.
So some of the things are made in China. And where else are things made?
Japan.
Some things are made in Japan. How many people drive a car that was made in Japan? Some of us do. How many have got computers? Oh, look at them all. Nobody out there. Where was your computer made? Yours is made in China. Lots of others were made in China as well. Lots of the things that we use in everyday life were made in different parts of the world. Lots of stuff, all kinds of places. And usually, if you check the label, it'll tell you where it was made. Now then, I brought one of my friends from home here today. Who do you think this is? Anybody know? This is a famous character, actually, from a comic. And his name is Rupert. Rupert the Bear. And when lots of us were younger, we used to read lots of stories about Rupert the Bear. And this actually belongs to Iris, so I've got to be very careful with it. I want you to have a guess. Where do you think Rupert the Bear was made? Where do you think?
Let her rip.
What do you think?
Canada.
Where do you think it was made? China. Rupert the Bear. China? I think everybody senses this is a trap.
Italy.
Okay. Well, let me see if I can find the label. Here's the label. And it says, made in Indonesia. Indonesia. Wow. I'm not quite sure where that is. Are you? It's in Asia. Thank you. So you see, we get things that are made from all over the world, lots of different places in different parts of the world. Now then, if you had a label on you, where would it say that you were made?
God.
Whoa, you're ahead of me. Way ahead of me. Where were you made? You were made in heaven. You're all ahead of me. Ah, give up. Is there anybody in this church who wasn't made in Alberta? Come on, don't be shy. Put your hand up if you weren't made in Alberta. Lots of us weren't made in Alberta, were we? Put your hand up if you weren't made in Canada. Whoa, look at them all. Was anybody here made in Canada? Yes, there were. Lots of people were. Lots of people were. And so you see, we come from all over the place, don't we? We all come from different places, and we could say we were made in England, we were made in Canada, we were made in Alberta, we were made in wherever. But somebody already told me, where were we really made?
Heaven.
In heaven. Right, we were made in heaven. Who by?
God.
God is our Father, right? God is our Father, and we were all made in heaven. So it doesn't matter what country we come from. We can come from many different countries, but we were all made in heaven by God our Father. Now then, if God is our Father, what does that make us? Are we related to each other? If we've all got the same Father, we must be...
Related. We're all brothers and sisters.
Yeah, we're all brothers and sisters, aren't we? All of us. Brothers and sisters. So if we're all brothers and sisters, and that's everybody in the whole world, we don't have any enemies, do we? Because your brothers and your sisters are not your enemies, are they? You're all kin. You're all related. So we have no enemies, and that's the way God wants the world to be. Are you going to say something sensible? No? Okay. Put your hand down then. Go and tell your father afterwards, and he'll answer it for you. He's got more answers than I have. The Wemmix, you are special. That's right, we did that in Vacation Bible School, didn't we? That'll be coming up soon again, Vacation Bible School, and we'll be doing something else. But anyway, I think I'm finished. So shall we have a little prayer together? Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord, that you are our Father, that you created each and every one of us, and you, because you are our Father, we are brothers and sisters. You want all of us to love each other as you love us. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, it's time for Sunday school. Thank you. Let's get out of here.
Bet you wish you had one of these. Beautiful. Very nice. Now, if you give me a second here, I think we're going to sing now. I know we are. We're going to stand up and we're going to sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 8, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Singing that hymn there, you kind of listen to the music that's been provided for us by the organ and by the piano, and you think, isn't that beautiful? How richly blessed we are. We are so richly blessed by people giving of the talents that God has given to them, giving it back to the Lord. And I'm standing over here. Look at this. Isn't this beautiful? And we look over there, and look at those flowers. Aren't they beautiful? Wow, what a wonderful world. We could sing that. That's a cue for a song, Peter. What a wonderful world. Do you know that one? No? Yes, he does. And you know, this past week has been a strange week on the world scene. We've had all that stuff going on in Boston. We've had that great big explosion down in Texas. We've had an earthquake in China. We've had all of these things going on, probably a lot more, on the world stage. And if we look at the hospital scene, today I find out that Irene Schultz, many of you know Irene, she's a long-standing member of our church, hasn't been for quite a while because of ill health. Irene Schultz has now got a compression fracture in one of the vertebrae in her back, and she is in Sundry Hospital. In Sundry Hospital, where she joins Pearl Blaine, another long-standing member of our church family, where she joins Gwen Earle, another long-standing member of our church family, and where she joins Charlene Van Arnhem. Charlene's in Sundry. And so, you know, if you've got a bit of time, take a little trip out to the Sundry Hospital. There's lots of people there, our own family, our own brothers and sisters in Christ who would love to see you, love to have a visit from you. But give yourself plenty of time, because we've got quite a few people there who we need to visit. And then, of course, in Didsbury Hospital, we have our friend Dave Bricker. And I'm sure you will continue to remember Dave in your prayers. And Phyllis, who's here today, and she spent a lot of time caring for Dave. And, you know, it's often the carer that we have to pray for as well, because the carer gets exhausted from all of the work that they put in looking after their own loved one. And also in Didsbury, we have Joyce Doctor, and Joyce collapsed at home, and I went to see her and asked her what the problem was, and she says, "I have no idea." She says, "They don't tell you anything." And sometimes you feel like that in hospital, don't you? But sometimes they don't tell you anything because they don't really know yet. The tests are still awaiting results, and so on. And you know of people, yourself, and you look upon the last week, and it's been a hectic week on the world scene, a bad week on the world scene, and it may have been a bad week for you in your private scene, or it might have been a good week, it might have been full of joy. But God cares about your week, whatever your week was, and he cares to hear from us as we turn to him in prayer, which we will do now. Let us bow our heads and pray. You have called us, gracious Father, to enter into your courts with praise, and we come giving thanks, and we worship you. And as we come, Lord, we are aware that our human limitations often keep us from expressing the things that sit upon our hearts and our souls. And so we sometimes speak to you, Lord, sometimes like a broken language. And so we rely on the fulfillment of your premise, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will take our prayers and will present them before your throne of grace on our behalf. And we thank you for that blessing, Lord. Some of us, Father, come before you with lives full of joy because of the richness of your presence in our lives. It is good at these moments when life has been good in so many special ways to give thanks and to rejoice in your love. And some of us, Lord, come in sorrow, in need, in loss, in pain, bad news and failure, distress and heartache. All of these things, Lord, for some have been the experience of this past week. But we come to you, Father, and we look to you, Lord, to fulfill your promise that you will lead us beside the still waters, that you will restore our souls, that you will help us to be still and to know of your calming and healing presence in our lives. And we come to you, O God, with hearts full of hope and full of assurance, because you have promised that you are with us, that your rod and your staff, they will comfort us. And on that, Lord, we depend and we lean. We thank you, Father, for our salvation, that our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and then rose in triumph from the grave, that we too might also know of resurrection glory. And so we ask you, Lord, to fill us with that new life and light that lifts us to new heights of living. And may we continually worship you and praise you, you, Lord, who are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And so we come to you once again, Father, on this day, bringing our prayers and our petitions for those whom you have laid upon our hearts. We express our needs and our thoughts and our desires for them as we whisper their names in silence before your throne of grace. We pray in silence. We come before you this day, Lord, as a church family, thankful for the fellowship that surrounds us and praying for one another. We come, Lord, in so many different ways, in so many different frames of mind. And you know us all, Lord. You know us all because we are your children, your own individual children. And we thank you, Father. Go with us, Lord, this week. Grant us the power of your presence. Watch over us and our families and protect us from all evil. And we pray, Lord God, that we may be worthy representatives of the glorious name that we represent, and that everything that we say and do may be to your honor and to your glory. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. The first reading is from St. John chapter 10, verses 21 to 30. Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And the second reading is taken from Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 43. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days when she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner.
Our thanks together for those readings from the Scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing to God's glory. The hymn 380, Just a Closer Walk with God. Singing of that beautiful old hymn, and I think everybody enjoyed singing it, certainly got that impression. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A couple retired to a small farm, and they acquired a few sheep. And at lambing time, it was necessary to bring two newborns into the house for care and for bottle feeding. And as these lambs grew, they began to follow the farmer's wife around the farm. And she was telling a friend about this strange development. "What did you name them?" her friend asked her. "Goodness and mercy." Think about it. She was referring, of course, to that line in everyone's favourite psalm, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Most of our scripture readings today refer to sheep or shepherds, and it's probably one of the most familiar images in scripture. God is a shepherd, we are God's sheep, and sheep were important to the agricultural lives of the ancient Hebrews. And that's probably the reason why sheep are mentioned more than 500 times in the Bible, way, way more than any other animal. And for King David, who was the author of much of the book of Psalms, the metaphor of the sheep and the shepherd was an obvious way to think of our relationship with God. David had vivid memories of life as a young shepherd before he became a warrior, before he became a king. And so he begins his popular and beloved Psalm 23 with, "The Lord is my shepherd." But David wasn't the only Old Testament writer to use this imagery. The prophet Isaiah used sheep to illustrate the waywardness of God's people. Isaiah wrote, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." Now you might well be thinking, just like I am, how did Isaiah know about us? Because he sure got us right, didn't he? He sure got us right. And of course this descriptive language is carried over into the New Testament, specifically concerning Jesus. He is the ultimate shepherd of God's people, as well as the unblemished and sacrificial Lamb of God. Now, unless you've grown up with sheep, as Nick has, he knows all about sheep. If you want to know more, talk to him. But most of us haven't grown up with sheep, and we haven't spent a lot of time in petting zoos, and so we're probably not all that familiar with sheep. In any case, you probably wouldn't think that being described as a sheep is very flattering. Most of us wouldn't think that. We would more likely think of ourselves as being too smart or too free-spirited and individual to go along with any old herd. Sheep, unless someone is having a hard time in getting to sleep, tend to be woefully underappreciated. When most of us think about sheep, we suppose them to be feeble-minded animals, too stupid to think for themselves, and therefore apt to just mildly follow along with the rest of the herd, sometimes into dangerous and deadly situations. However, this image of the life of a sheep is mainly based upon a lack of understanding. When we really get to know a little bit more about sheep, we realize that being a good sheep is being a sheep that sticks with its flock and tries to remain very close to the shepherd. And to do these things, it requires some basic qualities that are also essential to being a good Christian, the same as it is to being a good sheep. Like the disciples of Christ, the sheep benefits greatly from belonging to the flock, gaining safety, guidance, nourishment, correction and care, having the opportunity to be useful and productive. We are all members of this, what we might call a flock. And we benefit greatly from being part of this. We love being here. We believe we belong to something which greatly benefits us. But membership also has its responsibilities. And in our more mule-like character, we are sometimes resistant to these responsibilities. And it requires the work of the Holy Spirit to make us the right kind of sheep to follow Jesus. So we need to ask ourselves the question, what does being a good sheep of Christ's flock require of me? How can we make sure that we're obeying the Good Shepherd instead of wandering off on our own? What do we need to know and do as members of Christ's flock? And I want to look at that just a little bit closer. That lesson from John's Gospel is set during the Festival of Dedication at Jerusalem, what we know nowadays as Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights. It takes place over an 8-day period in December and celebrates the rededication of the Jerusalem temple, which took place 2 centuries before Christ. So Jesus is in the temple courts. He is walking in Solomon's colonnade, which was a long covered walkway on the east side of the temple. And as he walked, some inquiring Jews came up to him and they asked the question, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Wow. Notice what Jesus says about his flock, about his sheep. First of all, he says he knows them individually. He knows them individually. And this is a beautiful picture of our relationship with God. God knows each of us. He knows us. He knows our name. Is that good or is it scary? God knows us. There's an old story about a census taker who was making his rounds in the Lower East Side of New York, and he interviewed an Irish woman who was at the time doing her washing. "Lady," he says, "I am taking the census. What's your name and how many children have you?" And she replied, "No, let me think. Well, my name is Mary, and then there's Marcia and Douglas and Amy and Patrick," and he says, "Never mind about the names. Just give me the numbers." She straightened up, hands on her hips, twinkle in her eye, and she says, "I'll have you know, sir, that we haven't got into numbering them yet. We haven't run out of names." What about the accent there? Wasn't that? That was good. And so the image of God as the Good Shepherd tells us that is the way it is with God. He knows us by name. He knows all of our names. And Jesus says the sheep listen to his voice. And this relationship between the sheep and the shepherd isn't just one-sided. A man in Australia was arrested some time back and charged with stealing a sheep. But he protested that he owned the sheep and that it had been missing for many days. And so the case went to court, and the judge asked that the sheep be brought into the courtroom. Then he ordered the man who had accused the other man of stealing his sheep to step outside and call the animal. But the sheep made no response except to raise its head and maybe look a little bit frightened. And then the judge instructed the defendant to go to the courtyard and call the sheep. And when the accused man began to make his distinctive call, the sheep ran toward the door, ran toward that voice that he recognized, and it was so obvious who owned that sheep. The sheep recognized the voice of his master. His sheep knows him, said the judge. Case dismissed. Question for you. Is this imagery descriptive of your relationship with Christ? Do you listen to the voice of Christ? Author Neil Anderson contends that those of us who live in the Western world don't have a correct picture of what it means to be led like sheep. He says Western shepherds drive their sheep from behind the flock. They often use dogs to bark at their heels. Eastern shepherds, like those in biblical times, lead their sheep from the front. Anderson tells us about watching a shepherd lead his flock on a hillside outside of Bethlehem. And he said the shepherd sat on a rock while the sheep grazed. And after a time he stood up and he said a few words to the sheep. And he walked away. And every sheep followed him. He said it was fascinating. He said the words of Jesus in that passage of scripture suddenly took on new meaning to him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so you can judge whether a person is a disciple of Christ by how well he or she follows. Many people want the benefits of belonging to Christ's flock to be completely and intimately known by God, but they shirk from the responsibility of listening to Christ's voice and to following him daily. We want to know him as our Saviour, but not as our Master. Jesus is well aware of our weaknesses and our waywardness. And so he adds this final word of grace. Christ says that no one can snatch his sheep from him. In other words, God loves us. And as the scriptures tell us, there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can come between us and our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows all of us by name. We are to listen to his voice and to follow him. And we can do this in the sure knowledge that he will provide for every single one of our needs. And I just want to finish with the chorus of one of the choruses that we sang at the beginning of the service. And that was from that one, 121, Shepherd of My Soul. Kathy said, listen to the words of this little chorus. Listen to the beauty of these words. 121, Shepherd of My Soul. Let me remind you of this chorus that we all sang. And it says this. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made the choice to listen to your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go. And that was a beautiful chorus. And I guess the whole of the scripture reading for today was about that chorus. Nothing will ever separate us from God's love. And this is the promise to all of his people, to you, to every single one of us who are the sheep of his pasture. And for this we say thanks be to God. Amen. Isn't that a nice sheep? We sing our closing hymns, and the first one, there's only one hymn we could sing at this point in time, and that is the Psalm 23, hymn number 50, "The Lord is My Shepherd." now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.